Okay, we are on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Today's Daf is Daf Lamed Ches. We are up to Menachem Stop at the last case on this Amud, case number 4. And the Gemara is bringing all these different cases of Suffolk, in the case where Reuven dies and his brother marries his wife, Shimon marries his wife. But, and then they have a child 7 months later. You don't know if it's the child of Reuven, born, he marries her after 2 months, and you're not sure if it's a 9 month or a 7 month baby, and therefore, whose son is this really? Is it Reuven's son or is it Shimon's son? That's the case that the Gemara is talking about. So all these different types of cases, we're going to have 6 altogether, or even 7. We are up to case number 4, which is about the 10th Y line, where it says Safek Ubnei Yavam. Case number 4. We have the case of Safek and Yavam. We have the case of Safek and Bnei Yavam. I think we brought in a third case, but now we're up to a fourth case. Safek Ubnei Yavam. So what's the case? Again, Reuven died and Shimon married the wife, and now there's a child that was born, a son that was born. We're not sure if it's the son of Reuven or the son of Shimon. So who's arguing here? Safek, you have this child. You have this child who might be the son of Reuven, who might be the son of Shimon. Ubnei Yavam. And the Yavam has also died since. Shimon has died. So what's the mach? And then now they're trying to argue about the nechassim. Who's going to get the nechassim of Shimon? Shimon, the brother that just died. So who's going to get these nechassim? So Safek Ubnei Yavam Shebo Lachlok B'nichsa Yavam. They're coming to split up the nechassim of the Yavam, of Shimon. L'basar D'palag Yavam B'nichsa Misna. After previously, the Yavam had already split up the nechassim earlier of his first brother who had died. Meaning that was case number 1 that was discussed, and in that case the Gemara had paskined that you split it. Mamana muta basavik halkin. So again, what happened? Reuven died. Shimon marries his wife, and then there's a child born. You're not sure if it's the son of Reuven or the son of Shimon. Reuven's dead. That son and Shimon had a did Torah. Who's going to get the nechassim? And therefore, as a paskin yachloku, you have to split it. This son might be the son of Reuven, and therefore he should get everything. But Shimon says, no, you're my son, and therefore I should get everything. So therefore you don't know what to do. So the Gemara in case number 1 had said, Yachloku, you split that because there nobody has an adifus over the other one. So that took place. They split it up equally. But now Shimon dies, and now Shimon's nechassim is under question. So who gets it? So Bnei Yavam Amri, the sons of Shimon say, I see Raya Da'achunu Adushkol. You know what they say? You're the son of Reuven. You're not our brother. You're not the son of Shimon. You're the son of Reuven. Our brother? No, you get nothing. Because you are the son of Reuven, and we are the sons of Shimon. We are the sons of the Yavam, and therefore you should get nothing. Bring a proof that you are our brother, and then we'll give you some. So that's what they say to him. So Amalahu, Safek, but the Safek says, the son of either Reuven or Shimon, right, you're not sure who it is, he says, no, Manavshach, I deserve something here. Why? If I am your brother, right, if I'm really the son of Shimon, your brother, that I get a portion, with you, right, because I am a brother with you, and Yerusha is paternal, and therefore we share the same father, and therefore I should get a portion with you. V'yir bar misnahu, and if I am the son of Reuven, if I'm not your brother, I'm the son of Reuven, then 1 minute, havuli palga de palga vuchad ba'adoy. Then last year, when I split up Reuven's property with your father, and he took half of it, that half is mine, so give that half back to me. Meaning, Mimanavshach, if I'm the son of Reuven, I should have gotten all the nechassim of Reuven, and your father got half of it, so give me that back. And if I'm your brother, then fine, I should at least get a portion of the nechassim right now. Rashi points out that why would he want to do this? Because maybe Shimon's property is worth a lot more. So that's why he wants to get a portion of Shimon's property, and it would even be worth it for him to return the money, the properties that he already got, half of them from Reuven. It was worth it for him to give those back and then resplit and get it, and get more. Okay, so that's the question. That's the machlokas here. Nice family discussion, family argument here. We're going to have a lot of family arguments today about who's going to get these nechassim, the Safek and the Bnei Yavam. So what's the halacha? So there's a machlokas. Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Kam Dina, Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Hadar Dina. What does that mean? Rav says Kam Dina. What does Kam Dina mean? The din stands, meaning the Safek cannot bring in the fact that something took place last year, and if I'm really the son of Reuven, I'm going to be machzirin and you owe me half. No. Once a din takes place, it's finished. Kam Dina. That din stands. Don't talk to me about the din Torah that happened last year. Right now, we're judging about this case. In this case, this is the issue at hand right now. That's Kam Dina. Don't talk to me about what happened in the past. Hadar Dina. No, the din could be Hadar. You could be Choserbo. You could retract and go back on what occurred, and therefore the Suffolk has a claim to say, if I'm really the son of Reuven, so then your father got it incorrectly, therefore it should go back to me. That's the machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yirmiyah, whether you say Kam Dina or Hadar Dina. There is a big discussion in the Mefarshim exactly how this works, especially Kam Dina. What does Kam Dina mean? So the Rav Elchanan in the Kovetz Ha'aris explains that once Beis Din paskin something, even if it's as a suffik, they're not sure, but they paskin bishum suffik, it attains the status of a vadai. And it sticks, says Rav Elchanan in Siman Ayin Beis. The Manda Amar, that's the Machlokas. Manda Amar Hadar Dina, the one that says Hadar Dina, Hecha De'ikla Meimar Mimanav Shach, Svirale, what does the Manda Amar Hadar Dina hold? The Bishvila Muchzach Lonish Tana Adin, just because Beis Din told you that you're allowed to keep it, because it was a suffix and they ruled it a certain way, doesn't mean that it's something has changed. It doesn't become yours if it's not really yours. You're allowed to hold it unless we know otherwise. But it's not really a vadai. But the one who holds kamdina, what is the old svirlei? The nase hadover shel hamuchzak afilu im be'emes eino shelo. Once Beis Din paskins a certain way, period. It's his. Therefore, you can't say this far of Iman of Shach. If I'm really the son, I'm going to return the money. Whenever I become a muchzak, it is vadai mine. And then he compares this even to this principle of the shita of hadar dina to bittul barov. Let's say you have an isser that gets mixed up into heter. So the isser, the whole thing becomes mutter. Right, you have something, a tray frank that fell into 1,000 kosher franks. So the whole thing is mutter. You don't know. Let's say 2 days later, you know, you remember that what the tray frank looks like. You know, oh yeah, it looks a little different than the other ones. And you can find it. What, it's mutter? It's mutter? You're allowed to eat it? No. No, even if something becomes mutter, but still inherently, it's just that you're allowed to be no eketer here. But it's not that it becomes mutter. So too by suffing mammon. If you find the real vaday owner, so siba shalabailam lo paka mehamotzi. The misbara suffing acharkach, yovel yahu. Well, yitzarech hamotzi, he doesn't have to make a new kinyan. It was his all along. So Rabbi Chanan says that the issue of Kam Din and Hadar Dina is a halachic issue. What status does money that Beis Din ruled upon that you could keep, does that have the status of Vadai, or does that have the status of only Suffolk that you could keep unless we know otherwise?
In the Bittul case, they hold that you keep all three of them at once.
In the Bittul case, there's a three machlokas we've shown him in the Bittul case. Can you eat them obabas achas? Can you eat them bezach or zeh? Or do you have to leave one over? That's a chumr, the smag holds that you have to leave one over at the end.
The Russians and the Rashbam, they say you
can right. You can eat all things because you don't know. Because
it gets transformed into
it's nasus nefach laheter, that's true, but only unless you don't know otherwise. Even they would agree, even the Russians and the Rashbam in that case would agree, in Yerodeya, if you figure out which one is the Isser, it's back nefach to Isser. You're not going to be able to nefak laheter only unless you know otherwise. If nikara isra, then you're still not allowed to keep it, even according to those shittos.
But here, when we basically allocate the assets, still know.
Right, in this case, but that's the chiddush of Kam Dina. Kam Dina, that would be that Bezin allocates the assets and now it's yours, period. The Truma Sadeshin has a different way to look at it. The Truma Sadeshin, Simon Shin Yud, you look at it, has a case, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, about two, there are two cases involving the same two people, but the Truma Sadeshin's Lashon is, it's based on Yeyush. Based on Yeyush. Once Beis Din paskins a certain way, the other person gives up hope. Gives up hope of ever getting it back. You can't tie in a Miman of Shach because he already had Yeyush. Maybe we'll come back to that a little later. But again, this is that Truma Sadeshin also is discussed by the Achronim. So again, let's get back to our case. What was our case? The case is the Suffolk and the Bnei Yavam. Remember, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven died. Shimon married Reuven's wife, and they have a baby. They don't know whose son this is. Is it Reuven's son? Is it Shimon's son? So this Suffolk And now Shimon dies. So the suffix says, I'm really Shimon's son, I get a chelek, and the other B'nai Shimon say, what are you talking about? You're the son of Reuven, you have nothing to do with this chelek. So can the suffix say, hey, if I'm really Reuven's son, then your father got half of the nechassim that weren't his in the first place last year. So I want to start all over again. So is he allowed to say that? That's the machlokas. Rav says, come dina, he cannot. Rav Yerbiya said, hadar dina, he can. Says the Gemara, let's say that this machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yirmiya is really the machlokas between Admon and the Rabbanan. At the end of Maseches Ksubis, there are a number of arguments quoted b'shem Admon and the Rabbanan. So this is one of them. Tetzah, the Mishnah says, Misha halach lebedidas hayam, the avdol oderech sadehu. I have a field, and I'm surrounded by four other fields. And I went away for a year or two, and I came back, and I forgot, the only way to get to my field is by going through somebody else's field. I forgot through whose field I used to have a path. I forgot, I don't remember. So I come back, and I have to get to my field. And the owners of the outside field say, no, what are you doing on my field? It's not on my field. Bring a raya that your path was on my field. But you go to the other side. Right, your son's not in my field. So what's the halacha in that case? Let's assume right now that, make it simple, Rashi quotes, Kasalka Daitach, that one person owns all the fields on the outside. One person owns all the fields on all four sides. So you own the field in the middle, somebody else owns all four fields on the outside, so you come back and you want a path. So what's the halacha? So Admon Amar Yelech Biksara. Admon says that he's entitled at least to the shortest way, to the shortest shortcut, to the shortcut to get into his field. Meaning one of these ways is his. He had a way to get to his field. So therefore, Admon says he's entitled to the shortest one. V'chachamim omrim, yikach lo derech b'mei amana. No, come say no, he's got to buy it. He's got to either buy it, pay $100 for it, or yifrach ba'avir, or fly there somehow. Right? The owners on the outer field, or the owner, has a right to say, tough luck. You got to pay it for me. You got to pay. You were on this side, prove to me you were on this side, prove to me you were on that side. They each have a claim. Vahavinan bala rabbanan. And the Gemara there, discussed, according to the Rabbanan Shita, Shaper Kamar Admon, isn't Admon correct? Why don't you have to pay for it? He had a derech here somewhere, so he's not sure which side it was, but there was a way that he could get inside, so isn't Admon correct that he could take the shortest one? The Amar of Yehuda Marav, so Rav explained that case. This is the case of that Mishnah where there's a machlokas. No, four different owners of the four fields on the sides. So that's why there are problems here. Because each one of them says, it wasn't by, oh, we're going to say, oh, it's the shortest one. So nobody, he has at least that. No, but each of the outer owners say, it was him, it wasn't me. You didn't have the path by me. So everybody pushes him off to the other one. So the Gemara says, if that's true, we didn't get to how it's related yet, Ihachi my time with the Admon. So then we're back to the other side. So why does Admon say he can take the shortest one? Why can't each of the four owners say, Hamotzi mechaveiro alav araya? As we say in any case of Safek, the one who's trying to take money out has to bring the proof. So if there are four different owners, so then he shouldn't be able to go into any of them. So Biyama Rava, so Rava says, you're right. What's the case there? That's the machlokas between Admon and the Rabbanan. Biyarba'a da'asu mikoach arba'a. Biyarba'a da'asu mikoach ad. Kulei amala pligi da'asu matchilei. If this field right now, when this guy comes back from the country, if it's owned by four different people, the four sides, you're right. Everybody would agree that he's got to pay for it. Because each one of them will say, you didn't have your path on my field. So if it's owned by four people now, and it had been owned by four, or even the other way, if it's owned by four people now, and it had been owned by one, either way, they're allowed to say, sorry, you have to pay for it, or try to fly. Ki pligi, what's the machlokes case? Bechad da'asi mikoach arba. Really, right now, they're all owned by one person, all the outside fields. But they had been owned earlier, previously, by four different people. This one guy bought all the fields surrounding the inner field. So what's the halacha in that case? So Admon Savar, Admon says, Matzi Amarle, Mikol Malkom Darki Gabachu. So Admon could say, the guy could come right now and say, look, you own all four outside fields. I have a path somewhere on your field. So I'll take the shortest one. And he's entitled to that. Because right now, fine, I'm Muslim Chavar Lavaraya, but he's got the shortest one. So that's why he's allowed to take the shortest one. The Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan say no. The Amar Le, the Rabbanan say no. This is what the new owner could say to him. Let's go with Rashi. Ishatak shatak. If you keep quiet and give me a nice price, then fine, I'll accept it. The Elo, and if you give me problems, you know what I'm going to do? Mahadrash Tara Lamarayu. I'm going to sell back all the fields to the owners, to the four owners, and then what? Lomas is a Shtu Yadina Badai. Then you're going to be stuck. Because, right, what's the halacha? There are four owners. You have nothing. You have nothing. You have Moshe Mechaber Lamaraya. Each one pushes you around. So, you know what? Deal night. I'll make you an offer that you can't refuse. Right? Either you give me a nice little price, or I'm going to give the fields back. I'm going to sell them back to the four original owners, and then you're going to be totally stuck. That's the machlokas between Admon and the Rabbanan. So now the Gemara says, maybe this is a parallel machlokas between Kum Dina and Hadar Dina. Maybe we could parallel the machlokos. Lema Rabbi Abba Damaka Rabbanan, Rabbi Yirmiyah Damaka Admon. Okay, let's remember the two arguments, and then we'll match them up. First argument we had, this argument is, there's a guy who has a field in the middle of four other fields. He went away. He doesn't know which field has a path that he can get to his field on. There's one guy that owns all four fields now, on the outside. So Admon says, give him the shortest one. He's entitled to it. Well, the Chacham say, no, he's got to pay for it. Because the guy could say, if you give me a nice, a reasonable price, fine. If not, I'm going to sell the fields back, and you're going to have nothing. Because you're going to have to deal with four different owners. That's one machlokas. The other machlokas was the case that we were dealing with. The Yavam, the Safek and the Mene Yavam. The Safek kid, is it the son of Reuben or Shimon, says, I want a portion of Shimon's Nechasim. The sons of Shimon say, no, you're Reuben's son. You have nothing. And the Bnei, but the Safek says, Mimanafshach, what do you mean? I'm either the son of Shimon, so I get a portion now, or I'm the son of Reuben, and your father already took stuff that wasn't his. So what's the parallel of the machlokas? The Gemara said earlier that first machlokas was based on Kam Dina and Hadar Dina. So the Gemara says here too, maybe Lema Rabbi Abba to Amar Karabanan. Rabbi Abba who said Kam Dina holds like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold, once it was originally owned by four different people, so that's it. You lost your share, your say, and because it was owned by four people originally, you lost it. Kam Dina at that moment. For Rabbi Yirmiyah to Amar Ka'admon, and Rabbi Yirmiyah who said earlier, Hadar Dina, that's what Admon's based on. Hadar Dina, meaning you go back to the original moment, meaning I had a derech here at one point in my life. Before I went to Medina Sayam, I had a way to get to my field. So Hadar Dina, and you go back to back to the original moment. So Gemara says, shouldn't we say these are parallel cases of Kam Dina and Hadar Dina? That's the svara for both machlokos. Two ha'aris. Number one is the Rashba. Rashba says, what are we comparing here? What was Kam Dina before? What do we think Kam Dina was? What's the difference in the two cases between the case we have before and the case we have now in terms of Kam Dina? Psak. Says the Rashba, well, how are we comparing? Before we had a case of a psak. There was a psak in the case of Reuben and Shimon and the Safek. So that was it. Kam Dina, the psak stands. There was never a psak in this case. There was a mitzius. He had fields around him. Says the Rashba, that's a big chiddush. I would have thought that Kam Dina, that idea only applies when Bezin gives a psak. So then the psak stands. Says the Rashba, in this case, you see that Kam Dina doesn't only apply when there's a psak. But it's even, he says, Uplukta the Admon v'Rabbanan, Havile ki'ilu kfar amdu b'din v'zachu behen. It's as if there was a psak. Once he has a derech to get to his field, it's as if there was a psak. Shari ha'sados muchlatin b'yad ha'baylim. Says it's just like, it's as if there was a psak. So he says, that's a chiddush. I would have thought that Kam Dina only applies to a psak bezdin, but he says, you see from here that it doesn't. Once there was a sale that took place, and people own properties bevadai, that itself has the status also of a psak, of Kam Dina. That is a har. There's something else to say, but I think I'm going to wait till the end, and then I'll mention it then. So says the Gemara, should we say these are parallel? These are parallel machlokos? No, the Gemara says, no, we can say that they're not parallel. So first, Rabbi Abba. Anad Amri Afilu Ka'admon. Rabbi Abba, who held Kam Dina, will say, I can even agree with Admon. Admon, who said that he has a right to say, I want the shortest field. Adkan lo kamar Admon hasam. When does Admon say there that he has the right to get the shortest derech to his field? Ela mishum da amalei mimanav shach, dark ichad gabachu. Because he has the right to say, look, mister, one of these ways is mine. I have a path through your field somewhere. Rashi says that's a tainus bari. He has a tainus bari. It's clear cut. It's a vadai that he has a derech on this guy's property. The Ritva adds that he's not asking for a place. He's asking for a value. It's as if he's saying, the Ritva's lashon is, as if he's saying, asking for ma'os betoch ma'osav. Read the lashon. It's as if he's saying, I lost $50 in your money purse. So I lost it. So he's not asking for a specific money. He's asking for a value. So that's the tainus bari. He for sure is owed. So that's where Admon can say that, says Rabbi Abba. Aval hacha. But in this case, says Rabbi Abba, in the case of the Yavam and the Bnei Yavam and the Safek, Mikla Memer Haki. So the Yavam doesn't, the Safek doesn't have any Vadai claim. I'm either this or that. I get something, either this, I'm either this brother or that brother, but he's still suffic, because there's no tainus bari there. So therefore, says Rabbi Abba, I can even agree with Adma. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amalecha, the other way. Rabbi Yirmiyahu who said, Hadar Dina, could also hold the other way. Anad Amir Filu Rabbanan. I could even agree to the Rabbanan who say that, tough luck, the guy has to fly, or pay. When did the Rabbanan say there that they could say, tough luck, you got to pay for it, because he has a claim, if you're quiet, fine, give me a reasonable price, because he could really return the shtaros to the original owner. He could really do that. He has that threat. He has the threat to say, look, if you don't deal properly with me, I'm going to give the stars back, then you're going to be really stuck. But over here, the psakdin took place already. So what do you mean he's going to go back? What do you mean I'm going to return the whole thing? The psakdin took place already. So that's it. You can't change that. So that's why you can't compare. You can't compare the cases. The Gemara tried to parallel the cases, and the Gemara rejects the parallel. End of discussion of case number 4. Of Suffolk, yeah.
So maybe
that's the rejection. Maybe Kum Dina only applies by Din. I don't think the Rashba says that, but I think maybe that's a way to understand that the previous line was like what the Rashba said. There is a discussion here in this. If you take a step back for a moment, we have a sheet of the Rabbanan, who we paskin like in that field case, where the Rabbanan say that he is not entitled to the shortest distance, but he's got to pay for it. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. There are two reasons the Gemara has suggested why that's true. Do we say it's because of he could say, I'm going to give my shtaros back? Or do we say it's based on the principle of Kum Dina, that once he lost it, he lost it. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the first. Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Mem Ches Aleph and Beis, he says, V'chenim hayu b'dalet sadosh l'ish echad, shekana osan me'erba, if it's 4 and 4, ein lo derech, but if right now it's owned by one, the Shulchan Aruch says, because he can give the shtaros back, so he says that that's why he has that claim, and he can make the guy pay for it. Says the Shach, what if all four of the previous owners have died? Says the Shach, in that case, he can't say, I'm going to give it back to the owners. I'm going to do the din again. So the Shach says, in that case, the Rabbanan would agree that he's got to give him the shortest one, because he loses that claim. He can't say, I'm going to give the shtaros back. That's the Shach. The Nesivus argues. The Nesivus says there's a totally different way of understanding the Gemara. He quotes it from the Nemuki Yosef, but he didn't have a Ritva. So we have a Ritva. The Ritva gives a totally different shot to the line of, hey, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to give the shtaros back. Does Bez Din act based on threats? Bez is going to say, hey, this guy could threaten that he's going to take revenge, and therefore we're going to act based on a potential threat of revenge that he could say? Very difficult that Bez is going to act based on that. Based on something that he could do in the future. Says the Ritva, a different shot to this line in the Gemara of V'ilo Mahadrenashtara. That shouldn't be taken literally, says the Ritva. Beautiful pshat. Doesn't mean literal like Rashi says, I'm going to give the shtaros back. But you know what it means? Says the Ritva, Yipui ta'anasohu. It is just an expression of strength of claim. What does that mean? V'hachi kamar. Kivan da'asi mikoach dalet shehifsid zchuso imahem. Hare nichnas bimkomo lagamre. Ukeilu hechzer lahem shtarosei and bedani mahem. What is he saying? I bought from these four people, so I have their power. I'm in their stead. That's what it means. It's a halachic principle that whenever you buy something from somebody, you buy their halachic rights. Duma machar lo rishon l'sheni calls chushetav liyado. Bein mashu shalovade, bein mashu zacha bo mechmed asafek. Says the Ritva, it doesn't mean literally the guy's threatening, if you don't give me a good price, then I'm going to give the shtaros back. No! It's what he really means by saying that, what the Gemara means is that when I bought this properly, I also bought their zechuyos in this property. And just like if the four owners were still here, they'd be able to push you off, so too I could push you off. It's a yipui taina. It doesn't mean literally he's going to do it. Besant doesn't act based on threats. But it's just an expression of the strength of his own claim now. If I bought it from those four guys, I have the power of those four guys. And if those four guys could push you away, I could push you away. So therefore, says the Nesivis, even if those four guys have died already, so what? The point isn't that he could really return these shtaris to the previous owners. But the point is, he's saying, I have their strength. If I have their strength, and even if they died. That's what the pshat of that line is. So it's two machlokas, Rashi and the Ritva, or the Nemuki Yosef. What exactly is the pshat of that line with the nafkamina, the shacham and the nesivus? Nafkamina is if those four owners have already died. Okay. We are up to line number six. Line number six is case number five. Case number five that the Gemara is asking. Again, Reuven died without children. Shimon married his wife. And Shimon married his wife, and now the child, another family argument. So who's in it now? Safek Yavam. So you have the case of Safek, meaning this child, you're not sure if it's the son of Reuben or the son of Shimon, and Yavam, you have either his uncle or his father, right? That's the Yavam, yeah, sure. There's Machlokas here. And who's Nachasim now? Safek Yavam Shimon Lachlok Benichsei Saba. Reuben and Shimon's father have just died. So now you have a Machlokas. The Yavam is a son. The other one is a son of Saba. The Safek is either a... What is he? Either he is the son of Reuven, so he is entitled to his own line of Yerusha, or he's a son of Shimon, so his father gets the Yerusha. He's a grandson, but he's not... it's a different line. So Safek v'yavam, Shabo lachlo b'nechse Saba. So Safek Amar, this Safek says, Hai gavra bar misnu, I'm really the son of Reuven, upalga didihu. And therefore I'm entitled to half, we're assuming there's only two brothers, I'm entitled to half the Yerusha. Yavam Amar, at barai didiyat, you're my son. Son, you'll get it in due time, but now it's mine. Abaraihu, v'les lecha v'lomidi, you get nothing. So what's that lacha? Have a yavam vadai, v'safek safek, the Yavam is Vadai. He's Vadai, a son getting Yerusha, and the Safik might get nothing. So ain't Safik Motzi Midei Vadai. The Yavam here in this case gets everything. Case number six. Safik Ubine Yavam. Same case, but here the Yavam has died already. So Shimon's children are here arguing with their maybe brother, their maybe cousin, right? With the Safek. Shabo lach lebedechse Saba. So they're arguing about, they want to split up the grandfather's property. Safek Omar, hahu gavra bar misnahu. Again, the Safek says, I'm really the son of Reuven, so I'm supposed to get half this property. Upalga didihu, half of the nechassim are mine. Ubnei Yavam Amri, and the Bnei Yavam say, no, achunat, you're really our brother. U manta isla nechacha bahadan. You're our brother, so you're supposed to get a third, meaning assume there are two sons of Shimon. You're supposed to get a third. Not a half, you're supposed to only get a third. You're our brother. So here we go. Let's think about this. Okay, so the Safek is saying, I'm the son of Reuven, so I'm supposed to get half this property. You get half and I get half. The two sons of Shimon are saying, no, you're our brother. You're Shimon's brother, you're Shimon's son, and therefore you get a third, and we'll get the other two thirds. So the Gemara says, let's assume there's $6 to the Yerusha. $6. Yeah, make it simple. Six anything. $606. So palga de kamodi lehu shakli. So he admits to them that they get half the Yerusha. Right? He's saying, I'm a son of Reuven. Therefore, take half and I get half. So he's admitting to them half the Yerusha. So they get $3. $3 they split amongst themselves, the two sons of Shimon. Because that's not under argument. Because he's admitting that to them. Tilsa de kamodi le shako. They're admitting that he gets a third. Because they're saying, you're our brother, so you get a third. So a third, meaning $2, $2 he gets. So they split up. The two sons of Shimon split up $3. And the Safek gets $2 because those two groups of money are not under argument here. What's left? $1. Pasha Lehudanka, 1/6 is left. So that last point, that last money, is the only one under argument, and that is split amongst all of them.
What about Bechor
Pishayim? Assuming, let's say, right, what about Bechor? Let's assume there's no Bechor here. Assume there was a daughter or older or some other case. Let's assume there was no case of Bechor. Sorry?
The
Yafim Safek is a Bechor. Maybe it was a cesarean. I mean, there's many, many ways that it doesn't have to be. There's no bechar. Let's say there was a miscarriage that was full term. I mean, there's also not petarechem. The Rush here notes, interesting, that these last two cases, you know, in the previous case, we just had case 5 and 6. In the case 5, you have the Suffolk and the Yavam. The Yavam gets everything, and all of a sudden you have the Suffolk and the Bnei Yavam. So it's all this whole split. Shouldn't you say that the Bnei Yavam are kum tachtov of their father? Why do they all of a sudden they lose? Their father would get everything, and now the sons have to do this whole split. So the Rush says, yeah, because when it's the Yavam, the Rush in Simon Yud Aleph, Shasafik Danim Ayavam Benichsei Saba Yafik Koach Ayavam. The Yavam is a Vadai. Ain Safik Yoreish Sel Asaba. The Safik doesn't yashin anything because the Yavam is a Vadai. But here Bnei Yavam, they're admitting that the other guy's a Vadai too. When the Bnei Yavam are dealing with, by the Yavam is saying, you're a nothing. You're a nothing. So he's a Fadah, he's a Safek. That's it. That's why he wins. But here, once it's the Bnei Yavam and the Safek, the Bnei Yavam are automatically saying, admitting that he's going to get something. That's why the rules change. They can't just come b'makom their father. The rules change because they're admitting that he's going to get something, even though their father didn't have to admit that he gets anything. He's a Vadai grandson, depending whose. Right, depending whose. Either he's a Vadai grandson alone or a Vadai grandson with them. Okay, last cases. Number 7. Saba v'yavam b'nechzei safek. Let's say the safek, the child who's, you're not sure who the father is, died, and there's a machlokas between the grandfather and the other brother and the son. Again, family discussions here. Saba v'yavam b'nechzei safek. So, the saba, a father, yarshins his son. Right, so the Saba says that this Safik is the son of Reuben, has already died, so I'm going to yarshin him. And Shimon is going to say, no, he's my son, so I'm going to yarshin him. Oh, Saba the Safik v'nechzei Yavan, or the other way. Saba and the Safik and the Nachasim of the Yavan, so all that are equal. Havimam and Amutab Safik v'cholkin. So all that are cholkin cases, period. Next, Mishnah. Next, this Mishnah appears beferish, verbatim, in Maseches Ksubis. But it appears here because it has to do with Shomeres Yavam. Just as a word of Hakdama, to remember or to learn, there are two types of nechasim that a woman could bring into the marriage. Nechsei Malug and Nechsei Tzon Barzel. The Gemara is going to talk about this. Nechsei Tzon Barzel means, literally from the word iron, barzel, those are items that the woman brings into the marriage that are recorded in the ksuba. Nechsei Tzon Barzel. Why are they iron? They're as strong as iron because the woman's going to get this value of property back, Rahman al-Islam, by death or divorce. The husband could use it as much as he wants. It could go down in value, up in value. This woman is going to get back this value that's recorded in the ksuba no matter what. Nechasim tzon barzel. They're like barzel to her. They last forever. Nechasim tzon barzel. Nechzei malug are different properties. Those are not recorded in the ksuba. They're nechasim that she brings in that the husband has rights to the peros. Let's say it's a field. The field belongs to the woman no matter what throughout. But the husband has a right to the peros. Death or divorce, the field goes back to the woman, whatever it's worth. Whatever it's worth. The husband doesn't have a chrayis on it because he can eat the peros. Even if it's worth less, it goes back to the woman. Malug, the word maliga, maliga is used by when you pluck feathers from a chicken. So maliga sa'of. So maliga, the husband's allowed to pluck off the peris, and in that way, but the field still belongs to the woman. So the Gemara is going to talk about those two types of nechasim. The Gemara Mishnah is going to talk about it. Nechse malug and nechse tzon barza. Okay. Nechse malug, she gets back the field, the principal. The principal, even if the principal is worth less. Nechzei tzon barzel, the husband has achrayis. And therefore, even if the principal goes down in value, the husband's got to replenish.
The value of the principal. Not
the value, right.
Not the karka.
In tzon barzel. In tzon barzel, it's the value, because if it's worth less, I'm sorry? Even if it's ba'en, he has to be mashlim. If it's worth less, he has to be mashlim the amount. And if it's worth more, he gets to keep the extra. He only has to give back the exact amount. Says the Mishnah. Shemeres Yavim Shenaflu Anachasim. A Shemeres Yavam, a woman who's waiting to get Yivim done to her, and all of a sudden, before she gets married, she has property that falls to her. She Yarshins, right? Somebody in her family dies, and she Yarshins. So, this is a great Mishnah to know how much is the Yavama already connected to the Yavam. How much we've discussed it in the past. Yesh Zika, Ein Zika. Lamaisa, is she married yet somewhat? This is a special, the Lashon we're going to have tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Hiknu Lamina Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this connection. Are they married? Are they not? So a good way to figure it out is, can she sell stuff that's hers? When she's fully married, she can't sell stuff on her own. Right? Mashakana Ishakana Baila. So what does the Mishnah say though here? A Shemeres Yavam that gets Nechasim, Modim Beishami Beis Hillel. Both Beishami and Beis Hillel agree. The Sefer will have a machlokes, so that's what this is alluding to. Beisham Beisel both agree, Shomacheres Venosenes Vakayim, that there's no problem, she could fully, Lechadchila, sell Nechasim, that she falls to her when she is a Shomeres Yava. Says the Nemuka Yosef here, this is in contrast to an Arusa. An Arusa cannot. Says the Nemuka Yosef on Daf Yud Beis and Aleph, by an Arusa, Afagav de Pligi Ba Arusa, Mamish, by an Arusa, there's an argument, by an Arusa, Beis Shammai says you can sell a Chachila, but Beis Hillel says you can only sell B'dieved. If you sold, it works. Why? Because Arusa is a real Kenyan. Lefisha Arusa Knuya Achen Eschayv Habala Beskila. She's an Eishes Ish already. So that's a real Kenyan. Hilka Kolkach Zochaba, by an Arusa, he is so Zoche, so that he prevents her from selling L'Chadchila. But by a Shomeres Yavam, Shalo Asa Bo Shum Maisa Hu Ba'atzmo, Ela Mikoach Achiv, it's only through the brother, and everything here, the most you're going to get is Malkus, so that reflects that there's not such a Kenyan yet between the Yavam and the Yavama, and therefore she is independent, and she's allowed to sell properties that she gets, L'Chadchila, even according to Beis Hillel. So that is first half of the Mishnah. The ratio of the Mishnah is, when she is here alive, she gets property, she can sell whatever she wants. Good question. Is this only Ein Zika? Yesh Zika, remember, is Drabanan. Yesh Zika is Drabanan. So L'chora, there's no limit given in the Gemara here. So L'chora, it might even be according to the Mandamar, Yesh Zika, she still has that authority. Says the Gemara, Yesh Zika, Ein Zika might just be in terms of the other brothers, might be in terms of co-wives, as we had earlier. Second half of the Mishnah, Mesa, what happens now? The Shomeres Yavam dies. Who is she more related to? Is she more related, meaning who's going to Yarshin her? And all of her various properties that she's entitled to. Her potential husbands, what the Mishnah calls the Baal, that really means the Yavam, their potential husband, or the Yarshe Ha'av, the Av, her father, meaning as if she's not fully married. So who now there's a machlokas. Mesa, maya yasa b'ksubasa. So if she dies, what happens with her ksuba? Her ksuba means what she was supposed to get, or nichsei son barzel. That's what's meant here by ksuba. Uber dechasim adechasim bayotzanima. Or the properties that go in and out with her. That means the nichsei malug. Right? Malug, we mentioned. These are the properties. The principal goes with her and goes out with her, no matter what it's worth. So beishame omrim, yachloku yorshi abalam yorshi ha'av. Beis Shammai says, and we'll see, the Gemara is going to explain this to mean specifically about the Nichsei Malug. Beis Shammai says, you split it. Even though, again, this is the difference, even though if she was alive, she would have full control to sell it, meaning it's fully hers independently, once she dies, it's split. The Gemara is going to ask, what happened? What changed? If it was fully hers, her father should yarshin the whole thing. The Gemara is going to explain it. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, no. Beis Hillel Omrim, Nechaza Beches Kasvan. All the different properties stay in the chazaka that they are at. Ksuba becheskas yarshe habal. The ksuba, meaning what she died first, so therefore she's not entitled to the ksuba. So the ksuba, the money that she would have been paid, stays with the yarshe habal, with the yavam, because that's her his. Nechasim ha-nechnasim v'hayotzen ima, but the nechse malug becheskas yarshe ha'av. They stay with the av, just like, Beis Hillel is consistent, just like she had full authority to sell it when she was alive, when she dies it goes to her father, who yarshins her. It doesn't go to the potential yavam, who she could have married, but it stays on her side, it stays in the yarshe ha'av. Knasa, once she gets married, harehi ki ishto l'chol davar, once a Yavama marries a Yavam, then they're fully married. Ubilvad, the only issue is, she takes suba al nichse bala harishon. Something that will come up more tomorrow. Who pays the ksuba? The assets of the first husband. Again, this is related to the larger conceptual issue. How much is the Yavam stepping into the shoes of the brother? Whose marriage is this really? Is it the first brother's? Is it his? Is he... Again, a big discussion in the Gemara, but already here, it's clear the Mishnah says that the ksuba is the first husband's. The first husband pays the ksuba his properties. Period. Says the Gemara. Mishnah raised to the pligi, Mishnah saved the pligi. Question is within Shitas Beis Shammai. Says the Ritva. It's not Bittul Torah discussed Beis Shammai. Right? Even though we don't pass like Beis Shammai. The Gemara always does this to try to figure out Shitas Beis Shammai, even though we don't pass in that way. Right, where Salvechik is quoted as saying, right, the Nefesh HaRav quotes this, that he was once asked by, why he was spending so much time, he was asked by one of the Moriah Shirim, why are we spending so much time on, they learned Mesechas Brachas for 10 years, Mesechas Megillah for another couple of years. They spent so much time on Dinim Durabanan, all Mesechas Brachas, Mesechas Megillah, it's all Dinim, 15 years on Dinim Durabanan. Is it Bittul Torah Daraisa? You're focusing on Dinim Durabanan? It's Chas V'Shalom, it's a Chefsa Shal Torah Daraisa. Whether it's about the Rabbanan, whether it's about a sheet that we don't paskin like, the Gemara, the first few blood of Mesechas Nidus, discuss Shitas Beis Shammai. We don't paskin like Beis Shammai. So here too, says the Ritva, the favorite. She says, even though we don't paskin like Beis Shammai, we're still trying to figure out what a sheet is. Still a Chepsa Shel Torah. So says, so what's the difference? What's the question here? Why does Beis Shammai say that when she's still alive, she has full rights to sell it, but when she dies, you split it? What do you mean you split it? It all should go to her father. Why does the Yavam get any rights? He had no rights when she was alive. Then all of a sudden she dies, now he has rights. Why isn't Beis Shammai consistent? So, we have three different answers. Two of them today, one of them, Beis Shammai, we'll get to tomorrow. Answer, shot number one of Beis Shammai is Ula. Omar Ula. Reisha denafla lakshi arusa, v'seifa denafla kshi nesua. Was the first brother Nisuin or Erisin? We mentioned before, we had it earlier in the Masechta, that even if Reuven only has Erisin to his wife, there's still a Zika to Yibam created to Shimon, even if there was only Erisin in the first marriage. So says the Gemara, that's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. Where it was only Erisin in the first marriage, so Rashi explains here, Shomeres Yavam is always going to go down one level. It's always going to be one level weaker than the previous one. If there was Erisin in the previous Reuven's marriage, then this is going to be, as the Gemara is about to say, a little lower than an Erisin, a Suffolk Erisin case. A little lower down, a little less strong Ishus. If it was an Nisuin case, it would be like a Suffolk Nisuin case. So explains the Gemara. In, let's say it outside first, and then we'll see it inside. So in the first case, where Reuven had Erisin. So in that case, Reuven dies, and now she is a Shomeres Yavam, so it was only Erisin. So now she has a very weak connection to the Yavam. It's a Suffolk Erisin. It's even less than a regular Erisin. So she has full rights to sell. She's very independent. She has a very weak connection now to the Yavam. But in the Seifa, you know what case when she died? Even though it doesn't sound that way, in the Mishnah it just sounds like she's alive and she died. But Ula is saying two totally different cases. In the Seifa case, the brother had Nisuin. So if the brother had Nisuin, so now you go down one level, she still has a very strong connection to the Yavam. Suffolk Nisua? Suffolk Nisua, that's still a strong level. And therefore, still a strong connection. And therefore, you split it, the Yavam has more strength in terms of these Nechasim. So now let's see it inside. Vikasavar Ula. So, and Ula explains, Zikas Arusa Ose Suffolk Arusa. If the original marriage was one of the Erisin, so that creates a marriage, a quasi-marriage between the Yavam and the Yavama of Suffolk Erisin. Zikas Nesua, Osa Suffolk Nesua. And if the first marriage had a Nesuin level, so then the Shomeres Yavam marriage, or connection, is a Suffolk Nesua level. And now the Gemara explains a little more. Zikas Arusa, Osa Suffolk Arusa. So let's talk about Erisin for a minute. In a regular case of Erisin, we mentioned this already from the Nemuki Yosef, what's the halacha in a regular case of Arusa? Could a woman sell properties that she gets by a regular case of Arusa? That's a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, yes, l'chadchila. Even by an Arusa, a woman can sell properties l'chadchila. Beis Hillel says, no, only b'di'evit. B'di'evit she can sell properties, b'di'evit if she did it, but she shouldn't sell properties l'chadchila. That's by a regular case of Arusa. So what are you going to say in this case? Suffolk Arusa? So it's going to be better. So that's the ratio of our Mishnah. Even Beis Hillel would agree that a Shomeris Yavam could sell Lechanchila. Why? Because this is even less than Erisin. Beis Shammai says even a real Arusa could sell properties Lechanchila. Beis Hillel, who says it only works for the Eved by a real Arusa, will agree that in the case of Safik Arusa, this weaker case, she could even sell Lechanchila. That's the next four lines. Zikas Arusa, Ose Savik Arusa, Dei Saka Daidach Vade Arusa, Modem Beis Shammai, Modem Beis Hillel, Shomeris Yavam says Vakayam. Because if you say our case is a case of Vade Arusa, but that wouldn't work, because Beis Hillel is Modeh in our Mishnah that she could sell Lechadchila. Vatznan, and we know, Nafla Nechasa Mishin is Arsa, in a regular case of Erisin, Beis Shammai Omim Timkar. Beis Shammai says you can sell Lechadchila, U Beis Hillel Omim Lo Timkar. And Beis Hillel says you cannot sell Lechadchila. Even though by a regular Arusa case, everybody would okay the sale but the Eved, but Beis Hillel does not allow Lechadchila. So what must you say? Zikas Arusa, Ozei Savik Arusa. That in our case, where the brother was married on an Erisin level, Shomeris Yavam goes down one, and therefore it's considered a Safik Arusa level. So if Beis Hillel allows it Bidi Eved, by Vadi Arusa, he would allow it even Lechadchila by a Safik Arusa. That is the Reisha of the Mishnah. Well, again, the Mishnah says, okay, what are we trying to figure out? We have a problem in the Mishnah. Because in the first case, when the woman's alive, Shomeris Yavam is alive, she has full rights to sell it. In the Sefer, after she dies, her Yarshim don't get the full property. That's the Stira. Why in the Reisha does she have full power, and in the Sefer, her Yarshim have to split it? So Ula says it has nothing to do with the fact that she died or not. Nothing to do with that. It has to do with how strong was the previous marriage. Was it an Arusa? Was it Nisua? That's it. Nothing to do with her being alive and her being dead. Let's finish off the second half. Zikas Nisua. Also, Safik Nisua. The Seifa of the Mishnah is a case where Reuven had been married through Nisuin. So if that's true, so again you go down one level, and that's why you split. Because if the Seifa would be about Vadei Nisua, that doesn't work. Why? Beis Shammai Omer Yachloku, Yorshi Abalam, Yorshi Av. Would Beis Shammai say that she's entitled to anything if she's a Nisua? Vatznan, we learned, Naflu Nechatzim Mishanisseis. Well, if a woman is fully married and she gets property, Elu Ve'elu Modim, Shemachra Benasa Shabbat Mosi Yad Alakuchos, that she has no rights to sell. And if she does, the husband takes it back. So Ula says that proves that a Vadai Nesua case in the first marriage creates one level down, a Suffolk Nesua level of connection between the Yavam and the Yavama. So that's why Beis Hillel says it stays Bechazaka, and Beis Shammai says Yachloku, meaning there's more flexibility in the case of Suffolk Nesua, and that's where there's a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But Beis Shammai does not have to be consistent, because the first case was a case of Erisin, and the second case was a case of Nisuin. Period. Amar Le Rabba. But now Rabba says, 1 minute. It doesn't sound that way from the Mishnah. Ademiflagi begufo la'achar misa. If that's the case, Ula, so why do you have to come up to the case that she died? There's no difference. I mean, according to you, it doesn't make a difference whether she's alive or dead. Liflagu b'chayel l'peiros. Why did the Mishnah say that she's still alive? She's a Shomeris Yavam. And the machlokas is, how much rights does the Yavam have in the peiros? In the peiros, in the Nichsei Malug. Right? That's what we're talking about here. Nichsei Malug, why do you have to say that? The case that she died. Right? Dying doesn't make a difference according to your pshat. So that's the kasha, which is a very strong question, because why does Gemara have to say the case of Mesa if it has nothing to do with Mesa? So that is why Rabbah gives a different shot. Ella Amar Rabbah. Again, there's more to talk about Peros, but we don't have time right now. You can look in the Rashi and the Mitzvah here what exactly Peros means. Ella Amar Rabbah, but Rabbah gives a second shot in the Mishnah. Idivi denafli kshi nesua. Really, both cases, which is the pashtas, Reuben was married fully, Nesua, Vizikas Nesua, Osei Savik Nesua. And you're right, every level of marriage goes down. If the first case was a Nesua, Shomeris Yavam is obviously a weaker link between the Yavam and the Yavama. But what's the difference between the two cases? It's an issue whether she's alive or not. Reisha de'ihi kaima, where she is alive, Havi la ihi vadai v'inu safek, she is vadai muchzak in the Nechasim. Right? These are her Nechasim. V'inu safek. And the ones trying to get it from her, the Yarshim and the Yavam, they're Safek, because she's a Vadai, has the Nechasim. The Ain Safek, Mosi Midei Vadai. their connection doesn't really mean suffix here, it just means they have a weak connection to these properties, and therefore that cannot be, they can't be motzi from her, because she has this very strong connection to them when she's alive. Seifa de mesa, but once she dies, so alal and biran lirash, alal ban lirash viachloku, then they're both coming al sirusha. They both have the Yerusha connection. They both have the Yerusha connection. That's why Beis Shammai says Yachloku. Because then they're both in the world of Safek. There's no Vadai, and therefore Yachloku. That is Rabbah, second shot of the Mishnah. Eisve Abaya, Abaya now has on Rabbah. Abaya is going to give a third shot. Look at the second to last line. Abaya Omar. We're not going to get to that today. But Abaya is going to give a third shot to Beis Shammai. But now for the Abaya has the Kasha on Rabbah. Ula Beis Shammai, Yisabi Motsi Bidei Vadai. Is it really true that Beis Shammai holds, in the case that she's alive, once again, that she's alive, she has a Vadai claim, she's Muchsak, and they have a Safek, Safek doesn't beat out Vadai. Is that really true that Beis Shammai holds that way? V'hatznan, I'll quote you another Mishnah from Bava Basra that says that, so seems to say that Safek can be Mosi Midei Vadai. What's the case? Nafal Abayis Allah Bal Aviv, a father and son are in a building, and the building collapses, and they both died. Who died first? Allah V'al Morishav, V'ayolak Subas Ishu Bal Chov, and this son has a lot of creditors. The son owes a lot of money. And the father was a rich guy. The son didn't have any money beforehand. So what's the machlokas here? Yarshiav, Omrim HaBen Meis Rishon, V'akach Meis Ha'av. The Yarshim of the father say that the son died first, so the son never got any of the money of the father, and we get the money of the father. We're Yarshim the father. Ubal Chovo, but the creditors say, no, the father died. This son was a millionaire when he died. You know, he gives a right about chobo mim ha'av meis rishon v'achach meis haben. So it's a machlokas. So what's the halacha? So Beis Shammai omrim yachlok. Beis Shammai says, you know what you do? Split it. Even though who's the muchzak here? The av had the money. He was the muchzak. He's the vadai. Yet Beis Shammai says that the creditor gets half. Sounds like suffik is mostly bidei vadai. How can the creditor get half as if the money belonged to the son? The father was a muchzak. Beis Hillel says, the nechazim stay in their chazaka, they go to the father. Ask the Gemara, ask Sabaya. The ahacha, yarshi ha'av, vadai, balchov, suffik. The yarshi ha'av, our vadai in the balchov is a suffik. The kasi, suffik, mosi, midei vadai, ? So how can you give shot in the Mishnah that the woman, when she's alive, is a vadai and they can't be mosi? Beis Shammai holds, suffik is mosi, midei vadai. So Gemara says, no. Big yesod, kasavri, Beis Shammai, shtar ha'omed ligvos kegavu dami. When the creditor is holding this shtar, it's as if it is collected already. It's a big sugya. A shtar that's about to be collected, the power of a shtar, that it's not just a milveh al peh, it's a milveh b'shtar, that gives me tremendous power. The one holding the shtar, it's as if he has partial kinyanim already. The language of the Ritvan Kedushin, he has a shibud, is a mixas kinyan. He owns the property already even before it comes into his hands. So that's the power of a shtar. So it's not a suffik. The balchov is not a suffik. It's like vadai and a vadai. You have nechasim, you're a muchzak, and I'm a muchzak too. So therefore, don't bring many rayas from this.
So how is he,
the balchov is connected to the son?
Right. We don't know if the son ever had any money.
We don't know. But again, but the shtar makes it more muchzak. He's like, they're like b'makom, this son, and therefore you don't know for sure whether the son got it or not. Right? You're asking, you don't even get the first base. Get the first base. So what? That he's muchzak in the kagavi dummy, but you know he didn't get the properties yet. Okay, so it's a good question. We'll talk about it more. Umina Timber. Let's just figure out one more case. Said the Gemara. Where else do we see this idea that Beis Shammai holds shtar ha'omed likvos kagavi dummy from the following? It's not the Mishnah says in Sota. What happens if a woman is waiting to drink the Mei Sota and the husband dies before she drinks? Mesu ba'alein ashloshasu. The husband dies before she drinks. Beis Shammai omrim notlus ksubasim in ashosos. She doesn't drink. She can't drink, as we're going to see Xeris Akasiv, but she takes her ksuba. She takes her ksuba, even though it's a suffix. If she was mezana, eshes eshezinso, does not get her ksuba. So Beis Shammai says she takes her ksuba. Beis Hillel omrim o shosos o lo notlos o lo notlos. Either nuksubasan. Either she drinks or she doesn't take her ksuba. Gemara says, Shoso, she has a choice to drink. Behavi ha ish as ishto amarachman of aleka. No, the husband has to bring her. The husband's not there, then there's no shtia sasota. So the Gemara said, really, this is what he means. Elami toch shelo shosos, lo no los ksubasa. No, since she doesn't drink, and there's no way for her to declare her innocence, therefore she doesn't take her ksuba. So Beis Hillel says no ksuba. So he asks the Gemara, v'ahacha de safek hu, safek zanai, safek lo zanai. Here it's a safek whether the woman should get her ksuba. V'ka'asi safek hu mosi b'dei v'adai, and yet the woman gets her ksuba according to Beis Shammai. Aye, don't you see again, safek is mosi b'dei v'adai. El shvabi no, so it must be no. Shtar ha'omid likvos kagavi dami. It must be that really no, he holds a shtar that is about to be collected is kagavi dami, and therefore there's no raya. One more line, via Abaya los femeha. Why didn't Abaya ask from this Mishnah? Abaya asked from the previous Mishnah. Why didn't he ask from this Mishnah? What's the difference? Says Rashi, this Mishnah is in Nashim. It's before Nezikin. Right? He asked from a Mishnah, one in Nashim, one in Nezikin, Basra, one asked from the one in Nashim. Right? That comes earlier. Rashi doesn't call it Nezikin, interesting. Rashi calls it Seder Yeshuos. Seder Yeshuos was from, right, Shabbos Lamed Aleph, the Makar in the, based on the Pasuk. Right, Yeshua says that's Seder Nezikin. He says, why do you ask from Nashim? Ask from, why do you ask from Yeshua? Ask from Nashim. It's earlier. So Gemara says, no, Dilma Ksubas Isha Shinim Shemchina. No, Abaya knew that maybe the Ksuba of an Isha is different. Mishemchina. What? Chazal, when they were misaking Ksuba, if you assume Ksuba is a Rabbanan, maybe they put part of the takana that it's as if it's kagavi dami for specific reasons like subish isha, even though it's not kagavi dami by other staris. Maybe we want women to be able to jump to get married, and they'll know that even besafi they're going to get the money. So we're going to do more for the case of the subish isha than by other staris. That's why he didn't ask from that case, but he asks from the other cases. Volus v'ksuba demas nisan. What about? Why didn't he ask from the seifa of our mishnah? What's that question? Hashem, we'll get back to tomorrow. We'll pick up with this question tomorrow.